the coffee's hot and so are the headlines. Welcome to Money in the Morning. I'm Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And as always, we have two great headlines today, two great tastes that go great together. And where have I heard that before? And then we're going to tie those two headlines together into one big so what at the end of the show. We call it Money in the Morning. You're here and we're ready to go. Money in the Morning is brought to you by Stacking Benjamin's Apparel. Have you seen the shirts for Money in the Morning? No, seriously. Have you seen our Stacking Benjamin's line of apparel? Brad Lark, who does our stuff down at Flying Pork Apparel, is amazing. Head to stackybenjamins.com/shirts to see his latest designs. It's funny, our friend Dan, who's been listening to the Stacking Benjamin show forever, wrote to me this last weekend and said he was in Las Vegas and he was wearing a Stacking Benjamin's Financial Ed. It looks like a phys ed shirt. It says Stacking Benjamin's Financial Ed. A guy who apparently was working with some female companions, let's put it that way, walked up to him and said, would you like to spend some of those Benjamins you're stacking on maybe somebody to go back to your hotel with you? And he said, what do you say when somebody says that to you? What do you say? You say, thanks for loving my t-shirt. Head to stackybenjamins.com/shirts for more on Stacking Benjamin's Apparel. All right, guys, I got hot headlines, so let's get moving, huh?
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
I'm serious. Dan said, I had no idea what to say. He goes, there's a joke there somewhere. There's a smart comeback, but he didn't have it. But we do have a headline today for you. First one comes to us from USA Today, written by Richard Wolf. Supreme Court strikes down a ban on sports betting in a victory for New Jersey. Not just a victory for New Jersey. I'd say that this is probably a victory for anybody who wants to do sports betting, isn't it? Let's read. Washington, New Jersey won a landmark ruling from the Supreme Court Monday that could lead many states to legalize betting on college and professional sports. The justices ruled 7-2 that a 25-year-old federal law that has effectively prohibited sports betting outside Nevada by forcing states to keep prohibitions on the books is unconstitutional. The ruling could set the stage for other states to expand legalized gambling as a source of government revenue. Justice Samuel Alito, a New Jersey native, wrote the court's opinion on the case. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. Sotomayor. Missed that one. It was a victory for the state's recently departed governor, Chris Christie, who had challenged the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act passed by Congress in 1992 to preserve the integrity of the nation's most popular sports. He and other proponents sought the ruling in order to help the state's ailing casinos and racetracks. It was a defeat for the National Collegiate Athletic Association, the NCAA, that is, and the four major professional sports leagues, baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, that had successfully blocked New Jersey in lower courts. Quote, Congress can regulate sports gambling directly, but if it elects not to do so, each state's free to act on its own, Alito said. Our job is to interpret the law Congress has enacted and decide whether it's consistent with the Constitution. PASPA, the name of that law, is not. The court's action could jumpstart action in Congress to pass legislation calling for federal regulation of sports betting, something the sports leagues would prefer over separate rules from state to state. All right. I'm not that interested. And thank you to our friend Sandy from Yes, I Am Cheap for the pronunciation guide for Sotomayor. Let's not talk about sports betting. I'm not that worried about sports betting. You know what? If you want to bet on a sport, you're going to find a way to do it, whether it's legal or not. I'm not that worried about it. I am going to ask you this question, which I think when it comes to our financial plan and our money management, what bets are you placing? Because I see people that will put down $20 on a football game, but they don't have any money in their 401k. And if you think about it, investing really is a lot like gambling, right? I mean, I remember teaching my son how to bet a few weeks ago in Las Vegas, and people that listen to me very often, they're like, oh, not another Joe gambling story. And I don't, for those of you new to the show, I don't gamble a lot, but I've talked about this instance a few times. But I think there's even more here when it comes to your money. Because when I was teaching him how to bet at the craps table, I was showing him which bets have the best odds. And if you look at investing, investing really is betting, isn't it? I mean, if I'm betting on the S&P 500, I'm betting that these 500 companies are going to do something better, or at least good enough to meet my goals. I'm betting that not only are they going to keep up with inflation, these 500 companies, but they're going to beat inflation enough that I meet my goals. I'm placing money into these investments thinking that they're going to get me further ahead than me doing something else with it. I'm betting that this is a better way for my future. So an investment is a bet. But when we looked at the craps table, Nick and I said 6 and 8 are rolls. If you're familiar with how, if you take two dice and you roll them, 7 gets rolled the most, which is why at a craps table, for those of you that don't know how to play this game, at the craps table, if a 7's rolled, you lose in most instances. A 7 is a bad roll and it gets rolled most of the time. But then 6 and 8 had the second most combinations. So if you're a conservative bettor, you're betting on 6 and 8. Well, if you're a conservative investor, you're betting on the S&P 500. For two reasons. Number one, you're betting on the biggest 500 companies in the United States, which is, you can say, probably the most conservative place to invest your money. And I'm just thinking about how that statement would be wrong, which is why it took me so long to get it out. I think that when you look at the 500 biggest companies in the United States, you'd be hard-pressed to find 500 companies anywhere else on earth that's going to be a more conservative investment than that one. That's number one. Number two is, and by conservative, I mean you're more likely to meet your goals. The stock market historically has done, depending on the time frame you look at, around 10%. A lot of people say that you can expect to do between 7 and 8 in the future. If you look at historically, though, how and why the stock market makes money, it's not voodoo. You've got a couple things going on. Companies have to pay their debt. You look at the interest rate on their debt. Companies are going to have to try to grow or have revenue that at least meets that. And then the second thing is that companies are going to have to grow so that the shareholders realize some value. So if you're looking at companies, let's say a company has debt at 4%, and then the investor wants another 4% on top of that, you're looking at an 8% rate of return on that company over time. It isn't voodoo. If a company only does 3 or 4% and they have debt, they're going to struggle to get ahead. Shareholders are going to get no value. Management's going to get ousted. Things are going to go fairly poorly if they're a public company. For a private company, it's going to work a little differently. But we can only, usually for most of us, we can only bet on these public companies. So when I'm looking at my bet, the S&P 500 probably going to do somewhere in the 7 to 10% range, just so shareholders get enough value and we beat inflation for the management team to continue. And then the second reason is the S&P 500 very naturally is upwardly mobile. If a company's not performing for a long period of time on the S&P 500, guess what happens? It leaves the S&P 500 and they put in a new company that is performing. So the S&P 500, if you just leave it alone, is still rebalancing enough that your money's taking care of itself, which is pretty cool, right? I mean, it's a self-cleansing mechanism. And we don't even think about that. So those are two great reasons. Two reasons why it's a conservative bet. If we're looking at betting, take a look at your risk reward and bet in those places. So my question is, which bets are you placing? Let's bet. There's plenty of legal bets that are fantastic. You can bet on the lottery, which is a horrible bet, or you can bet on something like the NASDAQ by ticker symbol QQQQ, or you can bet on water. And I've got a little bit of my sandbox money in a exchange traded fund that buys water companies. You can do that. You can bet on just an individual company. You can bet in so many different ways that it'll make your head spin. And it's pretty exciting, isn't it? So when I look at sports betting, okay, Supreme Court knocked down sports betting. I don't really have an opinion, but I do have an opinion on bets, and I don't think we pay enough attention to, a lot of us, on which bets we're actually placing with our money. And when we bet, by the way, away from the stock market or away from real estate, we're also betting against the two asset classes that historically have beaten the pants off of inflation more consistently over long periods than other asset classes. Real estate and stocks for the win. If you want the most conservative bet for long-term bettors, that's the place to go. All right, let's say a quick hello to people, our friends over on Facebook before we get on our second rant of the day. We've got Lori and Sandy hanging out with us. Hey guys, glad you're here. We got a few people watching today, a little quiet, different than the last time that we recorded, and it was a chatterbox. So let's see if we can get chatty about the second headline, shall we? This written by Jeff Benjamin comes to us from Investment News. Financial advisors embrace virtual offices. Of course, Investment News is a rag for financial professionals, and I like pulling headlines from here so you kind of see what's going on in the financial professional world. Mr. Benjamin writes, less than a year after starting her financial planning practice in Oklahoma City in 2015, Amy Hubble was faced with a dilemma. She'd been accepted to the University of Georgia to work on her doctorate in financial planning and consumer economics, but the school was 1,000 miles away. And if she decided to pursue her PhD, she'd have to move. But that would mean giving up her new practice and abandoning her clients just as she was getting started. Ms. Hubble's solution? A virtual practice. 2 years later, her solution seems to be working. Thanks to technology and a willingness by her clients not to expect frequent face-to-face meetings, the 33-year-old Ms. Hubble has been able to pursue her graduate education while maintaining her financial planning practice. Ms. Hubble was forced into a virtual practice, but other financial advisors are choosing the option for a variety of reasons. In some cases, advisors find their clients prefer to stay in touch via email, phone calls, or video conferencing rather than fighting traffic to get to an advisor's office for one-on-one meetings. In other cases, advisors have set up virtual offices to accommodate a lifestyle that allows them to travel more or live in remote areas. And some do it just because it's cheaper, saving on rent and all the other costs that come with maintaining a brick and mortar office. This is exciting news, by the way, for many people, because a lot of people don't think about their financial advisor and not being face-to-face with them. I remember when things became more virtual for me, even back in the day when we didn't have all the options that we have now to conduct meetings virtually, using technology was something that was becoming hugely important. And it's funny, if you're not using email or using virtual Skype chats, Zoom chats, to talk to your financial advisor, this makes it so easy for you to get financial help very quickly, very, very quickly. And I think if you're not using that with your financial advisor, probably a mistake for you. With my clients, I used to tell people that we'd meet twice a year if I never heard from you. But we've got all these ways to connect. Feel free to connect with me in any of those ways. You're paying me a fee. Use my service in all these areas. So I have predefined ways. If you had news from your 401k, if you had changes to your financial situation, if you were buying a new car, if you were buying a new house, we could leverage technology to make sure that you got great advice at that moment from me. I mean, why wouldn't we do that? And if your advisor is stuck on just two meetings a year, face to face, and you're not pushing your advisor's button, I would ask you, it all depends on what you're paying, right? Maybe you're only paying for two meetings a year and nothing beyond that, and you can only meet with them during that time. But I think that leveraging that technology so you can get great help in your corner more often, worth paying for if you're going to use it. So leverage that. Leverage the fact that your financial advisor doesn't have to be in your hometown. If you live in a small town like I do, I don't have to just worry about which good financial planners are in Texarkana. I can have great advice in my corner wherever I want. My financial planner is in Michigan, and my CPA is in Oregon. Like, I've got people all over the United States helping me, and it's because I embrace technology. Why not? I can have people wherever I want. Makes it pretty liberating to do that. And there's no excuse for you not to have great help in your corner. And people often say to me, they'll say, well, you know what, Joe, I don't need financial help. That's fine. That's great. I'll just say two quick things. The smartest people I worked with were some of the smartest people out there who could do all their financial planning stuff themselves. I think it makes sense to have somebody who looks at life differently than you do in your corner, telling you where you're stepping in it, where your Achilles heel might be. I think there's value there. Only if you can take that advice. Some people just can't take it, right? They will never take it. So if you're not going to take the advice, then certainly you don't need that. That's number one. Number two, if you delegate some of this stuff to somebody else so you can focus on your core task, how much quicker can you get ahead? And that doesn't mean that you abdicate. I had two different types of clients. I had clients that abdicated and clients that delegated. Delegating is what you need to do. Abdicating, where you're just shoving it at somebody and saying, you take care of this, I'm never going to look at it, never something you want to do with your money. And if your advisor wants you to do that, it's a huge mistake. That is our second headline for the day. Love that idea, by the way. Speaking of ideas, we've got a big idea that we're going to share with you for just a second. We take these two headlines that seemingly have nothing to do with each other and we tie them together in a knot. But before we do that, going to say one more shout out to people that have bought our Stacking Benjamin shirts. Maybe you're not Dan, you're not headed to Vegas, and you're not having creepy encounters with people who might want you to embark on illicit activities with your Benjamins. But Stacky Benjamin shirts are at stackybenjamins.com/shirts. Check them out. Two new designs coming very, very soon. And we just announced our Stacking Benjamins live show tour. Also, Brad Lark over at Flying Pork Apparel creating new shirts for that as well as we speak. And also the tour logo, which is fun. And for those of you hearing about our live show tour for Stacking Benjamins for the first time, our other big crazy circus show, Stacking Benjamins, which comes out every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're taking it on the road. If you live in Kansas City, you live in Detroit, or you live in Orlando, or you want to fly to those places to see Doug, OG, and I perform a different show that's specifically made to be live, we'll have more on that. If you head to stackybenjamins.com/stacker, you'll get our newsletter, which will tell you more about that. All right. Let's take these two ideas, guys, and let's tie them together and get out of here because we all have stuff to do. But right now, let's talk about this. Supreme Court knocked down a ban on sports betting. That was our first headline. And our takeaway was, what bets are you placing? And then financial advisors embracing virtual offices. And if you're looking for an advisor, your choices are much, much wider now. And I think the big takeaway is this. I've been reading this book. I have this man crush on this guy, Tom Peters, management guru Tom Peters. And I just picked up this book, The Excellence Dividend. Tom Peters, by the way, I don't know how old Tom Peters is, but he wrote his first bestseller in the mid-1980s, talking about the car companies and innovative companies then. And then he's consistently talked about innovation, innovative companies, and keeping up. And his books always are very timely with advice. And I've learned great, great things from Tom Peters. Like, you can't shrink your way to greatness is a line that that I absolutely love that I read in a Tom Peters books. Tom Peters talking about Ritz-Carlton taking their maids and giving them, each of the maids having money, having a budget where they can make the customer happy. They can be customer service themselves. They don't got to ask anybody else, like giving your employees more flexibility. He also talked about the brand you revolution, where now, because you have, and man, this was in like 2000, talking about how people leaving a company more often. And you know what? You don't have the same company for 30 years. Fantastic stuff. And Bill, by the way, in our Facebook chat, thank you, Bill. He says, Tom Peters, 75 years old. Tom Peters still bringing it. You know what Tom Peters says now in this new book, The Excellence Dividend? If you're somebody like most of America, like most of the people on Capitol Hill, and maybe we saw the Facebook, did you see all the Facebook stuff where Zuckerberg went to Capitol Hill and congressmen asked him some of the dumbest questions, clearly showing they don't know technology. Tom Peters says, if you don't understand technology and you're not reading up on technology, even if you're not somebody working in technology, you're losing. And I'll tell you this, if you're somebody not using technology for your financial plan, you're losing. You are seriously losing, because good financial planners are using technology. You can have a better financial planner if you use technology. If you want to make the bets that are the better bets mean that you need to use technology. Look at what's happened in the robo-advisor revolution. I don't like that term robo-advisor, but robo-advisors are these, for those of you that don't know that term, robo-advisors are these platforms where you can invest in a diversified portfolio of investments, usually organized around something called modern portfolio theory, meaning very scientifically organized, and all you do is put your money in that thing. So you could do something like, and I'm going to spew out some names, a Betterment or a Wealthfront or a Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. You can use one of these investment platforms. And already you've companies like an M1 Finance that's saying, yeah, that was fine. We're going to the next level, right? Technology continues to march where the thing that was cool 2 years ago is now last year's thing. Because there's something more flexible, something more dynamic. And I'm not saying that M1 Finance is the end of the world. I'm just using them as an example. Let's use Blueprint Income when it comes to annuities. I mean, annuities have been horrible. If your advisor tells you to take your money and put it in an annuity, and it's not one of the new flexible annuity things that things being the technical term, by the way, that Blueprint and other companies like them are doing, what are you doing? You're just handing somebody a huge commission. If you're not somebody, and his book is called The Excellence Dividend, by the way, if you're not somebody who is reading about tech, and Tom Peters advocates in this book, nearly on page one, outread people in tech, not only read about technology, but read more than technology people read about technology. There is a huge dividend that you earn yourself by knowing technology, knowing how it works. And I'll say, just from the financial space, that's a huge dividend. It's a huge, huge dividend that you get when you learn about technology. And that, friends, is our big takeaway for today. Thanks to Tom Peters. Hey, thanks to everybody hanging out with us on Facebook today. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on Overcast, Castro, wherever you might be listening, thanks for listening again, for hanging out with us. We'll see you again here next time. Go stack some Benjamins. Bye-bye.
Money in the Morning is created by Joe Saul-Sehy and is brought to our channels by our producer and engineer, Richie Rutter-Reese. Stacking Benjamins and Money in the Morning are for entertainment purposes. Before making moves, consult with your financial advisor. Looking for training sessions? Kathleen Selmans has a great suite of Stacking Benjamins tools, so head on over to learn.stackingbenjamins.com. Hoping to chat with us on the web? Say hello to Shannon Cowan, our social media guru and community manager in our Facebook group. She can be found at stackingbenjamins.com/basement. From the basement, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. See you tomorrow.